Welcome to Sunday Morning at Faith Assembly, featuring the ministry of Senior Pastor Phil Goss. We're glad you've joined us.
Hey, we're going to talk about stupid. So that is what we're going to talk about this morning. Stupid. How many of you have ever done something stupid? Right? Okay. How many of you have ever seen somebody do something stupid? That's right. Like, you know when someone gets up on top of a roof with a trash bag thinking that it will work as a parachute. Like, you just got to check that out, right? Or maybe you've seen somebody jump from a moving vehicle. That always turns out well, right? I can do this. I know I can. Or perhaps you've seen someone try to surf on top of a vehicle. It's just stupid sometimes, the things that people attempt to do. You try to stand on top of a vehicle. It's just not going to work out very well, right? Or maybe, have you ever seen somebody lie and obviously you're caught in the lie, but yet you stick with it anyways? Like, it's obvious to everybody. There is no way what you're saying is true, but you keep going with it. Like, you ever had that happen? Or maybe you've seen that happen where somebody does it. Or you like fire and you try to jump over or through fire and you accidentally burn your eyebrows off or something. Anybody ever seen that happen? Like, maybe. Or perhaps there's some other things that you've done with that. Like, maybe you thought it would be fun to play with fire in a like lot that had all dead grass and stuff. And you thought, hey, I'm gonna start a fire right here in the middle of this lot. And you know what happens next, right? Is everything just spreads out. Right, exactly. So that's just a couple of the stupid things I've done. I don't know if you've done anything so far. Maybe you tried to do a pull-up on the choir place that held all the robes and you knocked the whole thing down. That was also me. Did that one as well. But all of us have done or seen stupid things, right? In fact, for this next section, I'm going to invite you to participate, and I'm going to give you permission. It's okay to talk to your neighbor right now. If you're listening with us online, it's okay. You can talk to somebody else in your house, or maybe even if you don't have somebody in your house, you can talk to your cat or just the computer monitor. It's okay. You're not going to be crazy. So just go ahead and just talk to somebody around you as we list through a couple things. I don't have a top 10 stupid things that people do, but I got a list right here of some of the stupid things that people have done. Have you ever left your wallet at home? And you go to pay for something and you go, oh man. Or maybe just your keys. Like, you got a ride home with somebody and like you left your keys there. Or one time, this happened to me recently too. I got home after we were on vacation. We took separate cars. I didn't bring my keys with me because I was driving somebody else's car. And I get home and I go to get in my house and I don't have my house keys on me. So I was, my family's like 3 hours away up in Orlando. Man, terrible things. Or maybe you've gone to get cereal in the morning. You've gone and you got breakfast, you know, you pour some milk in, pour the cereal in, and then you go and you put the milk back up in the cupboard and you put the cereal in the fridge. Anybody else had that happen? You go and you like go to do that and you have the milk in a different spot than it's supposed to be and you're like, oh man, I just ruined all that milk. Or perhaps you've been looking everywhere for your glasses. Man, where are those things? I can't find those. Have you seen my sunglasses? Yeah, they're on your head. They're right there. You've got them on. You're currently wearing them and looking through them. Like, you ever had that happen to you? I mean, I've had that happen to me a couple times. Or maybe you've been to a store and you've been waiting in line for about 15 minutes. You know, it's a long line. One of those long, you ever had that happen? Like, you're waiting either, usually at a restaurant or Starbucks or something, and you've been waiting, you've already taken 5, 10, maybe 15 minutes, and you get up to the front, or you're the next person in line, and the person in front of you, after waiting in line for 15 minutes, I don't know what I want yet. Let me figure it out. What do you think I should have? Oh, you've ever been there? That's a rough one. Or maybe you've gone into a residential area and you've been driving and they decided to put like 30 speed bumps because one wasn't enough. It's like your front and back wheels are both on speed bumps at the same time. To me, this is kind of the opposite. It's like, I wonder what this would be like if I go fast. And you can see if you can skip a few, right? But if you've been there, the neighborhood, you know, they have like speed bumps everywhere. And it's like, one was not enough. We must have like a whole bunch of speed bumps. In fact, a significant portion of, I think, stupid things happen in traffic, right? A significant portion of your noticing of stupid things happens in your drive somewhere. You wake up in the morning and you get in, or you're driving on your way to work and the speed limit's 70 miles an hour and somebody decides to pull on and do 30 in front of you.
right? And they're like, you know, a car length away. You have to slam on your brakes not to hit them. We've all had this happen. One of the most interesting things that I think happens in traffic often is when the person in the car next to you, you can see them talking to people in other cars. Have you ever had that happen? Or maybe you've done it. You've talked to the car and they're like, would you just stop that? They're like through two windows, man. They can't hear you. I don't know if you've ever had this happen, but sometimes people get mad at you while you're driving and they yell at you from their car. And sometimes you can see them yelling at you as they're like driving by. And sometimes they'll even tell you that you're number one. And as they're driving, you know. Personally, my favorite response to this is just smile and wave. Yeah. You too. Love you. Yeah. You're number one as well. Stupid things people do. People do this all the time when people drive. It's just constant. I mean, I'll even go here. The left lane is not a comfort lane, right? If you're in the left lane and somebody is like on your tail, it means get over, right? If you're going 10 miles under the speed limit, you don't belong in the left lane. Pass somebody and get back in the right, especially if you're next to, there's two people going under the speed limit and they're always right beside each other. And they're gonna take up all the lanes together so no one can get by. We don't want anybody to get anywhere on time. It's okay. We're gonna slow everything down. People teach people patience. That's what they're working on there. But the opposite of that's true too, right? You've been in like stop and go traffic where there's nobody's moving and there's that one car trying to swerve in and out of everybody. It's like, what are you doing? There's 40 more cars. You're just slowing everything down, man. Come on, knock it off. Right, you've had that happen. I don't know. Most people, I don't think, see this as stupid, but it's one of the things I've noticed. Have you ever seen people when they go to a restaurant and you have people who are waiting on you? I think it's incredibly foolish to be mean to your waiter. I don't know if people always think about this, but they're the one that's bringing you your food. And who knows what they've done to that thing, right? You better be nice to them. Right? They're the one taking care of you. In fact, their job is to be there and to take care of you. And some people often express their displeasure at people who are serving them. It's kind of interesting like that. There's a whole other level of stupid, though. Have you ever heard somebody say, hey, guys, check this out? Do you know what happens next after that? After they say, hey, guys, check this out, right? Something bad is about to happen. You're going to do something that you probably shouldn't have done. And equally with that, their friend that's next to them saying, yeah, dude, go for it. It's going to be so awesome. I can't wait to see you jump off that. You totally can do that backflip off the top of that. It's going to be great, man. Go for it, right? You've seen people do that, right? Or maybe asking questions. Okay. You ever been at a conference where, or maybe like a work required like thing, learning seminar that you have to go to, or maybe you're in college and you just heard the professor talk for a long time, and after this 30-minute, 1 hour, 2 hour lecture, they ask if there's any questions, and somebody raises their hand and asks the question that he's answered four times in the middle of the lecture, and you're like, what? And then they make you stay there because they ask three more questions that you've also heard throughout the whole lecture, and they just keep asking more questions. You've been there. Okay. Or maybe you've been in a conversation with somebody, you know, you're talking with somebody, and then this third person walks up to the side, and in the middle of your conversation, they just start talking, like they take over your conversation, and it's like, did you know that one time I was at, yeah, I remember when you were there, I told you about it, you remember? I can tell you that whole story, let me tell you, you told me once, let me tell them. You ever had that happen? I don't know, had that, or they're trying to finish your sentences as you're going through that. We're almost done here, okay? Have you ever experienced somebody trying to make everything about them in your conversation? As you're talking, everything actually points back to them. You tell a story, and your story is not about you. It's about me. Oh, yeah, that shows how awesome I am. Let me show you. And tied with that, have you ever tried to claim more that you know more than you actually do? Like, you're like, you know, I'm going to explain this to you. Like, you don't even know what you're talking. It's like somebody who, like, walks in. Yeah, that's a computer. You just have to turn the thingamabutch and the watchamajiggers and you spin them sideways and then it'll work. You just hit it three times on the side, click your fingers three times, and it'll work. You ever had that happen? Like, somebody who knows nothing about what they're talking about walks in and tries to explain, often to the experts about the thing that they're talking about, how it works and how it goes. One of my personal favorite stupid things that people always do is I call it the plus one. Plus one. So as you're having a conversation, hey, did you know last night I made 30 bucks? I made 60. I did. I made 60. Wait. I was just telling you a story. Yeah, but my story's better. You know that person, right? That person that you tell a story, but they've got a better story, right? Okay. So this morning, like I said, we're going to talk about stupid. Now, here's one of the main things I want to make sure that you understand. Something that perhaps you didn't know, and this may change your life. It could take you to a whole new direction and a whole new path. But here's the thing I want to make sure everyone understands. Life would be better if we didn't do stupid things. Right? Life would be better. I mean, I know life-changing, probably never thought about it before, but life would be better if you simply didn't do stupid things, right? Wouldn't your life be a little bit better if the stupid things that you didn't do, right? In fact, now, I know some of you may not like the word stupid. You may not like that we said that. In fact, I have a 5-year-old that I tell not to say it because I don't want to hear everything being called stupid in the entire world. But I understand that there's places where we don't really like the word stupid, and especially we don't like being called stupid, right? We don't call people stupid. That's not a nice thing to do. But throughout the Bible, we actually see over and over again that there's this word that they use that often has been translated foolish, similar meaning. But we do stupid things. And in fact, if we're going to be wise, like the Bible asks us to be wise, we need to learn to recognize stupid. If we're going to be wise, we have to learn to recognize stupid, right? In fact, there's an entire book of the Bible written all about wisdom. We're going to look at that today for part of what we're going to do. We're going to look at this section of wisdom literature. Proverbs was written entirely to give people wisdom so that we could be wise so we don't do stupid things. Makes sense, right? We want to be wise. Anybody want to be wise? Anybody want to be stupid? Okay, we have a couple people in the front row. We'll excuse you. You know who not to make your best friends. So most of us want to be wise, right? We want to be wise and not stupid. And in order to do that, we have to be able to recognize wise. So we're going to look at some of the Proverbs and what they tell us about what is wise versus what is stupid. Now, before we get in that, I need to give you a little heads up because people often misinterpret a lot of the Proverbs. They are wisdom sayings. So because of the literary form, it is a proverb. Because of that, people misinterpret them and make it something that it's not. So let me explain it this way. A proverb is a short, concise statement that is generally true. It is a short, concise statement that is generally true. But it is not 100% always true. It is a general observation about how life works. So let me explain it this way. We have some of these proverbs today. And if I were to say, what goes up comes down. That is generally true, right? You toss something in the air, it's going to come down. If you go in space, is that still true? Does it make it false? No. On Earth, what goes up comes down. It's a general way of us understanding it. In fact, I'll even give you one of the Proverbs that's most often misinterpreted, and hopefully for some of you, it'll help you feel better about yourself. So one of the things that is often misinterpreted is this statement, if you raise up a child in the way that he should go, when they grow, they won't turn away from it. Right? So what we think then is if your child does not follow Christ when you get older, it's probably your own fault. It's the parents' fault. We blame them. Right? That's what we do. However, that is not the point of this proverb at all. It's saying, generally, that when you raise a child and teach them what's right, they will choose what is right. Generally. But a child can still choose to go somewhere else. It is not on you, the parent. It is on the child to choose. But generally, it is still true that if you teach a child in the way they should go, they generally choose it. In fact, throughout Scripture, we see exceptions to this rule. Eli was a righteous man. He followed God with his whole heart, and he taught his sons what they were supposed to do, but yet he had two wicked sons who did whatever they wanted. And no matter what you think, I mean, honestly, there's probably people who are more righteous than you who have kids who aren't following Christ. And we're not going to blame them. The child chose what they want to do. We can try our best. But generally, it is true that if we raise a child in the way they should go, and we do our best to teach them right from wrong, they will generally choose right over wrong. Right? So you're with me so far? Okay, so if we're going to be able to recognize, if we want to be able to know what's wise, we have to be able to recognize stupid. One other thing I want you to know, throughout Proverbs, what we discover is there's a fine line between foolish, stupid, and wicked. There's a fine line. In fact, sometimes it seems that these words are interchanged. Sometimes it is our foolishness that is actually wickedness. So let me say it this way. In Psalm 14, it's stated this way. Only fools say in their hearts, there is no God. Only fools say in their heart. Only stupid people say in their hearts, there is no God. And I'm not trying to insult anybody. I'm just stating, this is what the scripture says. So what do the proverbs from the scripture have over Chinese proverbs and over other American proverbs? The difference is this. These proverbs were made from a biblical worldview, from a worldview that has God as its center, and from, honestly, a lot of them are written by what was recorded as the wisest man who ever lives, his observations about life and what's wise versus what is stupid. So let's take a look at some of the things that he said we should do. So Proverbs 12 is what we're going to look at. We'll look at verse 1 first. To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction. Now, how many of you love getting disciplined? Yeah, you love it when your boss brings you in to have that talk with you, right? How many of you love it when your parents have to tell you to stop doing that and correct you? How many of you love it when your spouse tells you that annoying habit that you're doing? No? Nobody? Right. We don't love discipline, right? But it is stupid to hate correction. It is stupid to learn. We have to learn to lean in. In fact, I like to think of it this way, kind of what this verse is saying. Own it. Own your mistakes. Own the things that you've done wrong. Recognize that you're responsible for your life. Recognize when somebody's trying to give you good advice, that they're trying to help you. Own it. Own it when you mess up. Verse 15 says this, stupid people think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. Stupid people think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others. How often do we really, truly listen to other people? I mean, how many arguments have you got in with your friends, with your coworkers, with your spouse, where you didn't really even listen to the thing that they said? Or how many times has it happened to you when you're in a fight and you're like, no, that's not what I meant. I wasn't trying to say that. Why are you? Right? They misinterpret what you're trying to say. How many times has that happened to you? All the time. In fact, I would say a significant number of our arguments, of our disagreements with people, come from this. We're not either willing to listen or we're not doing a good job of listening. Stupid people think their own way is right. How many of you ever accused somebody of thinking their own way is right? You said, you just will always want your way, right? The interesting thing about that, when you tell somebody that they always want their way, guess what you're doing? Wanting your way. Man, it's a catch-22. There's no way out of this. Stupid people think their own way is right. But the wise listen to others. How well do you listen to people? The next verse, 16. A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm when insulted. That's what we all do, right? We all are very calm whenever we're insulted, right? None of us take this foolish path. And all right, I'll move on. So part of this, honestly, I think a big portion of this, a wise person is instantly forgiving. A wise person is able to instantly say, I know you're insulting me, but you don't mean it. It's okay, you can insult me. I'll take it. Verse 18. Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Some foolish people make cutting remarks, but the wise, their words bring healing. Do you prefer sometimes to cut others down, to be sarcastic just for fun, more than you try to bring healing through your words, more than you try to build people up? Do you want to prove how wrong someone else is more than you want to prove or to help someone be healed? Verse 19, truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed. We know this, don't we? When you lie, eventually it'll come to the light. Eventually somebody's going to find out. It won't stay hidden forever. Not too long. Eventually it's going to come to the light. So be honest at all times. Never lying. The next verse goes a little further. Deceit fills the hearts of those plotting evil, but joy fills the hearts of those planning peace. Now, we don't ever think of ourselves as people who are plotting evil, but how often are we planning to create peace in environments? More often, we're not plotting what we think is evil. We're plotting our own way, right? We're plotting a way that I can succeed, a way that I can get what I want. We're plotting so that we can make sure I've got everything I need. And even if I have to manipulate things to get what I want, deceit fills the hearts of those that are plotting evil. But joy fills the hearts of those who are planning peace. People who desire for other people to succeed are filled with joy. Interesting. Verse 12:21 says this: no harm comes to the godly, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. No harm comes to the godly, but the wicked have their fill of trouble. Verse 22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. God is pleased with you when you tell the truth, but he's not when you're lying. The wise don't make a show of their knowledge, but fools broadcast their foolishness. Haven't you had that happen? Haven't you seen that? People claiming to know much more than they actually know, broadcasting their foolishness, showing their incompetence by boldly proclaiming, trying to impress people. But the wise don't show their knowledge. They just are quiet sometimes. Verse 24, work hard and become a leader. Be lazy and become a slave. Work hard. How often do we, honestly, we don't really want to work hard forever. We want to work hard for a month and then coast for the next 6 months, right? We want to work hard for a couple years and then it will be enough work that we can just kind of relax, right? We don't want to work hard forever, just for a little while, and then we'll coast after that, right? That's generally what we want. Verse 25, worry weighs a person down, but an encouraging word cheers a person up. So often, when we're worried, when we're focused on the future and asking all the what ifs, what could happen? Do you add to that? Oh yeah, but what if this could happen? What, when you're talking with someone, do you make it help them worry more, or do you try to find a way to encourage them and to cheer somebody up? Do you find a way to ask more what if questions, or do you say instead, you know what, but God is in control and this is going to be okay? Worry weighs a person down, but an encouraging word cheers a person up. 28, the way of the godly leads to life. That path does not lead to death. Now, the truth is, if we're really honest, it's really easy to see stupid in other people. You can drive down the road and recognize all the stupid things that the people on the road are doing. But what's really difficult is seeing the stupid in me, right? What's really difficult is to recognize, in fact, when you pull out in front of somebody, you're thinking, yeah, but I got to go now, right? When you do something, yeah, but I really am in a hurry. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. I was trying to. But when you see that other person do that, oh, they're so stupid, right? It's really difficult. But what's really foolish, what would be really, really foolish is if you dedicated your whole life to trying to do something, and yet you missed out on what's most important. In fact, there's a couple responses to what we have so far. Some of you may have heard everything we've said and you're thinking about all those other people, right? Man, those people, oh, I wish my husband was here today. I wish my spouse was here this morning. I wish my kid was here. Oh man, this person over there, they really need to hear that, right? In fact, you've already elbowed him a couple times as you're going through. You know, I wish they really needed that. That's really for them. They need to listen to that. There's some of you there's others of you that are like, oh man, that is totally me. Don't look over here. Don't see that. I mean, those things are really convicting to me. In fact, there's some of you who maybe even taken this so far, and as you look at all these things, you're like, I am never going to get there. I am never going to measure up to being good enough to be able to make, I'm never going to be wise. I'm stuck, right? I can't be who God wants me to be. I'm never going to get there. So the truth is, what really matters is a little bit different sometimes than what we think. And we can get so focused on everything we have to accomplish that we forget what's most important. So what is it that God really wants from you? What is it that God really wants you to do? I mean, there's lots of things that we could look at stupid, and we could look at stupid for all of us, and we could be looking at 1,000 different things, and we could make ourselves feel so bad for all the bad things that we do. But really, God wants something for us, and it's stated throughout Scripture. It starts in the Old Testament, and it's been stated over and over and over again. Jesus comes up in this thing we're going to look at. Jesus actually quotes this saying over and over again to the Pharisees and says, you've done such a good job at trying to follow every law, every rule, but you forgot the most important things. Don't neglect them. We're going to look at where this came from. So in Micah 6:8, the way of the godly leads, no, I'm sorry, Micah 6:8, we'll go ahead right here. The Lord has told you what it is that's good, what it is that he requires of you. This is the thing that God really wants. What is it God wants? What is most important for him? Summed up in just three simple things right here. To do what is right, mercy, and to walk humbly with God. To do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. So all those other things, if you could just for a moment say, if I really want God to be pleased, if I want to know what God requires of me, this is it. I want to draw your attention to a couple of things. First of all, he wants you actually to do something. He wants you to be active in doing. Now, it's easy to know what is right, isn't it? It's easy to know what is right. It is much more difficult to do what is right, isn't it? It's easy for you to look at your neighbor and say, don't you know, don't you need to, you need to know this is what God says and you're wrong, right? It's easy for us to look at other people and state to them, don't you realize how stupid that is what you're doing? God wants you to do this. But God doesn't say he wants you to point out to everybody else what is right. He doesn't require that you make sure everyone knows that what you're doing is right and that you tell all of them when they're doing something that is wrong. What he requires is that you do what is right. That you become active in every decision and in everything you do. Your desire and your motives are to please God. But not just any form of right. I want you to do right as God defines right. You see, we live in a world where we think each and every one of us can define what is actually right. But God gets to define right. In fact, his very nature determines what is right and wrong. God defines right. Do you submit to God? Do you try to do what is right according to what God says in every situation, in every moment? And if you mess up, what do? Do you attempt to do right as God defines it? But in Ecclesiastes, when Solomon is summing up his book. It's a great book. He talks about how everything in life is meaningless. It's wonderful. Kind of depressing if you're like in your 20s, but if you're in your 30s and 40s, it's really like, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I noticed that. And when he's coming by, this is his conclusion. At the end of the book, this is kind of what he says. Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. This is what God made you for, to fear God and obey his commands. This is our job. Our job is to do right as God defines right. But there's more than that too. It's not just to do what is right, but it's also to love mercy. I want you to do what is right, and also I want you to love mercy. Now, love is something that's not only external. It is shown, but it comes from inside. When you see other people doing stupid things, how do you respond? When you see other people doing what they shouldn't do, do you respond to make sure they know what's right? Or do we respond because we love mercy? We love it when people don't get what they deserve. I don't know about you, but I love it when I don't get what I deserve, right? I know I love it when I should get in trouble and I should get a ticket from that cop, but instead he just let me off with a warning. I love mercy for me, but do I give mercy to others? Do I love it when someone else receives mercy? Do I rejoice when others succeed? In fact, this is part of doing what's right. These two are tied together. One cannot be accomplished without the other. To do right, I must love others as well. I must see other people with loving kindness. I must see other people with loving kindness. In fact, that's what that word mercy means. I love it when people are shown kindness. When people are shown undeserved kindness, even better. Do I see other people with loving kindness? And this is how, what I love, is this is how Jesus saw us. When he saw the crowds who were around him, one of the things that happened is he didn't just look at all these people and say, oh, look at all these dirty sinners out here. Jesus didn't look at all the crowds and say, hey, all those crowds out there, all these people, man, they are so bad. How can I make them right? In fact, his response to them, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. It's interesting that Jesus and the Bible records that the people were kind of like sheep because sheep were kind of dumb. They weren't very wise. In fact, they would just kind of follow each other around. If one jumps off a cliff, a lot of them would jump off the cliff with them. They just kind of follow. He saw them, and Jesus saw that they were confused and helpless, like stupid sheep without a shepherd. So he had compassion on them. How often are we more like sheep than we think? He wants you to do what is right, to love mercy, but also to walk. In every moment of every day, in the Old Testament, this would have been recognized instantly, meaning that in every decision I'm consulting, in every decision, in every moment of every day I'm aware, in every moment of every day I'm walking together. This is us on a journey together to walk, not just any way, but humbly with your God, to walk humbly. You see, our default nature is not in humility, is it? What often gets us in trouble, like the first Proverbs that we read, is our pride that states, I know better. I don't need correction. I've got this. What often gets us in trouble is that we think we've got it all together. But the truth is, compared to God, we are just stupid sheep. In fact, the intelligence of God compared to the intelligence of me is very similar to the intelligence of the stool next to me. And we think that we've got it figured out, and often we think we are wise, but in our wisdom, sometimes we show our foolishness. Because God is so much wiser than us, but yet we think we should be able to tell him what to do. So if we want to walk humbly with God, I think we should really figure out how to actively live in submission to him. How can we, active through every moment of every day, be more aware that God is right there with us? And it's not, see, sometimes when we read all the Proverbs and we read all the things that we should be doing, we feel really bad because we feel like we can't measure up. You know, and I think sometimes as Christians, we feel like we have to work really hard and we should work hard and we have to get to a place and we should do that. But really the Christian life is less about getting to a place of perfection and more about getting to a place of surrender. Where I let go, where it's no longer me. I die to myself. I stop having to try to get my way. I stop and I let go and I just trust that God's in control. It's more about surrender and recognizing my goal isn't to become as perfect as God, although we should try. My goal is to submit to God, to give up my wants and desires so that they become more like his. To actively live in submission to God. Philippians sums this up, says it this way, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress other people. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Thinking of others as better than yourself. You don't have to make yourself better. You don't have to show your wisdom. You don't have to show that you are the greatest. You can actually think of others as better than yourself. Be humble. So, conclusion. What I want you to think about, what can I do to be, why don't you fill in the blank? We've talked about a lot of stuff this morning. Maybe it's something that you need to figure out how you can do what is right. You need to behave in a different way. You need, what can I do to be just? What can I do to be righteous? Maybe it's something that we talked about with other people, mercy. What can I do to be more merciful? What can I do? Maybe there's a habit or something you want to break. What can I do to be wise? What can I do to be actively submitted to God? Because none of us wants to be stupid, right? None of us wants to make stupid decisions. We all want to be wise. But when we recognize that what God really wants, and if we want to truly be wise, we would organize our lives in a way that would attempt to please Him, wouldn't it? We would do everything we can to make sure that He is pleased with us. So I don't know what you feel convicted about. I don't know what your next step is, but would you just pick one thing? Say, God, this week, I'm going to do what I can to be a little bit less stupid and to choose to follow you a little bit more. Now, I know a couple of you had a really hard time listening to anything I said because you didn't think I knew that I had this sticker right here stuck on the back of my pants there, and you haven't noticed this, and you're like, that's really something stupid. So another thing I want you to do. This is what I want you to know. Ready? The next time you catch yourself doing something stupid, you know, you got that flashlight, and you're like, this thing isn't working. And it shines right in your face. You know, the next time that you find yourself putting on a piece of clothing and the tag's still on your house, the next time that you find yourself doing something, the next time that person pulls out in front of you in traffic, the next time you encounter someone just being a little bit like a sheep, will you be reminded of this? And remember, challenge yourself. Am I doing what is right? Am I loving mercy in this moment? Am I choosing to be submitted to God and actively being humble? Will you remind yourself of this moment and think, you know, that was something that was stupid. Am I focused on what is truly important? Or am I focusing all my attention on something that's not as important? Will you choose to truly be wise? So God, will you help us? Will you help us to honor you in every decision and every moment? Will you help us to behave as wise and not as fools? Because you've asked us to love what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with you. Will you help us in each and every decision to do just that, so that your name is honored more and more throughout everything that we do, so that people will see you through the way we behave. We love you, Father. In your name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's service. If you would like to talk with someone about what you've heard, please visit our website at faith.ag or call us at 239-543-2700. If you're in the Fort Myers area and don't already have a church home, you're invited to join us for Sunday morning at 8:15 and 10:45 a.m. Faith Assembly is located at 7101 Bayshore Road. Join us again next week for Sunday Morning. Faith Assembly Sunday Morning is a production of Faith Assembly Media Tech, North Fort Myers, Florida.